Chapter 18. Gorley and Pilpin kneeled over the corpse of Overseer Dormus. Two knife wounds were in his chest. His eyes were closed.
"He was sleeping,"
Pilpin said. He stretched himself up to almost a full 4 feet in height.
"They slaughtered him the same as our brethren."
The other dwarfs grumbled. Some were sitting and sharpening their axes. Others waited on horseback.
"Should we bury him?"
Gorley said, checking the surrounding trees and branches.
"Let the critters have him,"
one dwarf said. Many others nodded and grunted confirmation. It surprised Gorley. Though dwarfs had no love for their enemies, a proper burial was given when time and circumstances permitted.
"I'll bury him,"
said another dwarf, walking over with a shovel. He had a squarish battle helmet on with a horn in the middle of it. One eye was missing, and half his fingers were gone. He shoveled his little shovel into the soft dirt.
"No sense in stinking up the woods."
Grumbling, some of the other dwarfs got up and pitched in. Shovels and picks were digging and swinging. Minutes later, a hole big enough for 3 men was finished. One by one, they pulled each other out. Gorley gaped. He'd seen the dwarfs dig plenty of graves over the years, but every time they did, it amazed him. It was as if their tools were magic. In a single heave, 2 dwarfs tossed Dormus's body into the deep grave. The dwarfs started filling the hole with dirt, and minutes later, it was done.
"Now what?"
Pilpin said, getting into the saddle of his horse. It wasn't just any horse, either. It was the biggest one of them all. The dwarfen saddle had 3 sets of double stirrups that helped him get on and off.
"The wounds were the same as our brethren's. The setters must be behind this."
"Indeed,"
Gorley said. He scanned all the dwarfen faces. Not a one would be turning from any of this. The setters had poked them in the eye. The dwarfs would make them pay for this. But the dwarfs were all looking at him, waiting. Gorley was scratching his hairy chin when it hit him. They weren't looking to Gorley. They were looking to Nath Dragon.
"We keep tracking them, of course,"
Gorley said. The biggest dwarf led the way. His armor was covered down to his chest in brown hair and beard. His dark green eyes were penetrating and inquisitive. He went by Devlike, because his dwarfen name was too long. Gorley followed along quietly in the middle. His thoughts were heavy, and his instincts wary. This was the first time he'd taken on a mission without Brenwar, Ben, or Bezog. And though he'd been around a long time, the chameleons weren't the most responsible people. Their awesome shape-shifting power pretty much allowed them to do whatever they wanted, while easily avoiding harm to themselves. He shivered. The recent encounter with the 6-legged blue dragons had shaken him up. His ribs were still plenty sore from it. They wound through the mountains at a brisk pace, with Devlike stopping to dig at the ground from time to time. All the dwarfs were silent and hard-faced, their determined, debating character dulled by the tragedy that had happened to their brethren at the settlement. Gorley felt for them. He wasn't used to losing family. None of his kind had ever died, and he'd never spent enough time with the mortal races to get attached to any before. The chameleons were very reclusive, small in number. For the most part, they only mixed with the other races to humor themselves. Gorley stretched out his fingers in front of him. The black scales and claws were each a unique color that he'd only been able to master by being close to Nath. He wondered what that felt like. Being a dragon, the most powerful creature in all the world. Much like Bezog, it was his fascination with dragon kind that drew him out into the world. That, and the danger that had grown after Nath Dragon disappeared. He clenched his fist. He could feel power in it.
"I wonder how much power Nath feels. It must be great, but miserable that he can't unleash it."
He'd seen the struggle in Nath's face, the fire that built and had to be extinguished. Having to pull back against mortal enemies that did not draw such a line seemed an impossible feat. Yet, Nath did it, and he handled it well at that.
If I had that kind of power, oh, mercy.
He shook his head.
I don't think I could do that. There would be rows of corpses in my tracks.
He looked at his hands again.
How does he do it?
How does he do what?
Pilpin said.
What do you mean?
Gorley said.
Did you hear me thinking?
No, but I looked over and your lips were moving.
Interesting.
I see people doing that a lot, talking to themselves.
I wasn't talking to myself,
Gorley corrected.
I was thinking to myself.
Aye, but your lips were moving.
Gorley eyed Pilpin.
That's a special gift you have, reading lips.
Pilpin eyed him back.
Not as special as yours.
Pilpin adjusted himself in the saddle.
So, how does who do what?
I just don't understand how Nath contains all that power he has. With that kind of power, I'd decimate the clerics every time I cross them, wouldn't you?
I'd do anyway,
Pilpin said, patting the weapons hooked over his saddle. And then nodding, he said,
Nath wasting his power seems stupid to me, too.
They kept riding. Gorley's forehead was creased between his brows. Taking Nath's form seemed different than taking other forms, somehow. It made him want to be more responsible, careful. Normally he was carefree and easy, but inside him things had changed.
I'm not sure if I can get used to this or not.
He felt like he had to help the dwarfs find their tormentors. He wanted to help them, prevent any more harm from coming to them. And being curious, he wanted to see face to face what such an evil person would be like. One who killed both enemy and ally with no remorse whatsoever. He pulled his shoulders back and kept his head high.
I can do this.
Later, Devlike the dwarf came to a stop, and the rest of the party gathered round. The brown-faced dwarf directed his comments to Gorley.
They split up. One heads toward the top of the mountains, and the other heads below.
Are we gaining any ground on them?
A little.
He spit tobacco juice from his mouth.
Perhaps that's why they split.
Gorley noticed that all the dwarfs were looking at him again. He felt awkward.
This is tiring.
Gorley said. Devlike said back, glaring a little. His Nath dragon form was confusing them, perhaps. He confused himself, but he felt compelled to make a decision.
Make it a good one.
Follow one or the other, Devlike,
Gorley said.
We'll stay together.
Devlike said. He spat again. He combed his fingers through his beard, turned, and climbed back into his saddle. He said something in Dwarfen and lurched forward. Down the hill they went. Pilpin was looking back at him.
You coming?
Gorley nodded and nudged his mount onward.
Am I in charge of this thing now? Wouldn't the higher ground be better? I should have paid more attention to Brenwar.
The pink pixie hovered at Phelan the Satyr's ear.
I see,
she said, opening her pouch. The pixie dropped inside and ducked out of sight. Phelan closed the flap and tied it down. She stood in a narrow ravine at the bottom of the mountains. Water ran down the middle of it and wound through great rocks covered in moss, and then ran out of sight. She splashed through the creek around the next bend. Mossy rocks, green trees, and lush foliage stretched up both sides of the massive crevasse. The creek water flowed over her hooves and straight ahead, as far as the eye could see. She scanned both sides. Nothing out of the ordinary appeared. Wildlife chirped and hooted all around. Bugs buzzed in the air. They traveled a little further until a rustle in the foliage lifted her ears. She turned. A rock started to move and take a humanoid form. Boulder-shaped hands revealed sharp claws. A head the size of a small boulder revealed a row of sharp teeth. It was a Drakus, covered in gray scales and heavy muscles.
"Do they come this way or the other?"
it said.
"They come this way,"
she said.
"But both paths lead to death."
"The High Priestess doesn't want Nath Dragon dead,"
the Drakus said.
"But the dwarfs are of no consequence."
"I know this,"
Phelan said with a sneer.
"Just secure our spot."
The Drakus stretched out a paw big enough to envelop her head. She stood her ground and patted the amulet on her neck.
"Don't even think of such an offense. I'll have you declawed."
Slowly, it pulled its arm back.
"Don't be so sure of yourself,"
it warned, slipping back into its spot.
"Death comes to all from many corners."
She started to back down the stream.
"Just see to it that you and the rest of your kind are ready."
She heard a laugh of sorts from the foliage. There were two Drakus in the woods for every dwarf, but the Nath Dragon factor she wasn't so sure of. She made her way up the bank and tucked herself away in the bushes.
"Certainly there are enough of us,"
she smiled.
"And if not, I've another trick up my sleeve."